WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. French President Emmanuel Macron wants Israeli troops to stop its attacks on Gaza. He told the BBC,
I call for a ceasefire, and I will urge them for a ceasefire, for an humanitarian ceasefire.
While he condemned what he called the terrorist actions of Hamas, he says Israel must stop killing babies and women. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with more.
The Hamas-run health ministry says more than 11,000 people have been killed in Gaza. The U.S. Secretary of State speaking directly about the spiraling death toll.
Far too many Palestinians have been killed. Far too many have suffered.
On Friday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told troops the fighting will not stop until the task is completed.
Netanyahu also said, quote, these crimes that Hamas is committing today in Gaza will be committed tomorrow in Paris, New York, and anywhere in the world. The Big Ten has banned Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh from the sidelines. Our Errol Burnett on what the punishment's all about.
This stems from ongoing investigations into the team's covert operations in which opposing teams' signals and plays were being recorded in the lead-up to games, a violation of NCAA rules. Some sports writers are calling this a slap on the wrist, since Harbaugh can still participate in team activities during the week.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is being investigated about his campaign fundraising. WCBS-TV's Dick Brennan with the mayor's response.
We're going to comply and be as transparent as possible.
But at a press conference on Wednesday, the mayor never mentioned what happened to him on Monday, that the FBI approached him on the street, asked his security to step aside, and confiscated two iPhones and an iPad. They were returned a few days later.
Letters believed to contain fentanyl have been sent to election offices in several cities. Former Department of Homeland Security Deputy Assistant Secretary Tom Werrick.
Someone is trying to make people fearful as they open ballots, as they respond to routine correspondence. And this is the exact definition of domestic terrorism.
Moody's Investor Service has lowered its ratings outlook of the nation's debt to negative. This could hurt your investment portfolios, make it even more expensive to borrow money, and make it more costly for the government to pay off its debts. The timing of this comes as Congress is once again facing the threat of a government shutdown. Funding runs out on Friday.
Dragon contact and soft capture complete.
NASA's SpaceX has docked at the International Space Station. It's the rocket's 29th commercial resupply mission, which is also testing out laser communications from the space station to Earth. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If you have unfiled taxes, did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. America yet again finds itself on the brink of a government shutdown. People in Wisconsin want lawmakers to keep working Americans in mind when considering certain programs. More from Mike Mohn.
Congress has 1 week to approve a new federal spending plan, but with a new House Speaker in place come renewed concerns Republicans in that chamber will press for steep cuts before the latest deadline. Jordan Anderson, a disability rights advocate from central Wisconsin, worries about accessing disability benefits through Social Security if his job status changes. It's even more pressing for those close to him.
I have friends that are unable to work, so they kind of depend on the one check that comes every month, and it's vital to have what they need to buy groceries.
Anderson also worries about water quality in his community. The House passed an environmental appropriations package that cuts spending by 35%. Lawmakers did not respond to a request for comment, but generally, House GOP members have stressed the need to rein in spending. Hard right House members are pushing for cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program under the Farm Bill reauthorization. Linda Spaulding, a retired community college teacher from Kenosha, says many working families are struggling to get by.
When you're trying to decide, well, do I afford child care or can I afford food on the table, what are you going to pick?
Bobby Kogan with the Center for American Progress says it's important for the public to know that House Republicans have floated cuts that some might argue go beyond extreme.
House Republicans called for an 80% cut. It's money that goes to poor school districts to make sure that they can hire teachers.
Lawmakers backing that idea say unspent COVID funding factors into their reasoning. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some sprinkles or light rain showers. We'll see a high around 42. For tonight, chance of rain, mostly cloudy, lows around 38. Gradually becoming sunny on your Sunday with highs in the mid-50s. For Monday, look for sunshine and a high around 52. That's weather.
Right now, it's 37.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Let me start out by saying I have some of the top caregiver advocates in the state of Wisconsin on our show tonight. You will not want to miss what they have to say about what is happening at a state and federal level to support family caregivers. Joining me tonight will be Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources, and Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at University of Wisconsin, and Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mics. I can't believe I stumbled on Pizza Box Mics with all of those long titles I'm trying to pronounce. And Pizza Box Mics will be joining me tonight, who has not only worked in the direct care field for many years, but was also a caregiver for his mother. Before I get started, though, I just want to say happy National Caregiver Month to all the dedicated, hardworking caregivers, past or present, for doing what you do to take care of those that you love and support each and every day. Bill Clinton had made a proclamation to caregivers back in the late 1990s during National Family Caregiver Month, and every president, I am happy to report, has done the same. This is a time to not only honor and thank the family caregivers that you know that give so much support to their loved ones, often at the cost of their own physical, financial, and emotional well-being, but it is also time to raise awareness on the fact that there are over 50 million caregivers in America providing over $600 billion a year in unpaid labor. With that being said, let's jump right in. I'm Liza Helen Brand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And my first guest with me tonight is Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. So, Beth, thank you for joining me tonight. I gave you a list of questions that I was going to ask you, and my first one isn't even on the list, but don't worry. I'm not throwing you a curveball. I just want to see if we can start out by having you make the connection between the work that you do at UW-Madison and caregiving.
Yeah, thanks, Liza. It's great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. So I am an occupational therapist and a geriatric health services and caregiving researcher. So my work as an assistant professor is really focused on research-wise, trying to find ways to better systematically include family caregivers in systems of care, primarily in the hospital setting. And I also help educate the next generation of occupational therapy clinicians and make sure that they're practicing at the top of their license and including family caregivers.
Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that. And I can't believe I didn't ask you in DC. So that is wonderful work that you are doing. And you're joining me tonight to speak specifically about the CARE Act, something that I know that is near and dear to your heart. What is the CARE Act and why is it essential for family caregivers?
Yeah, so many state legislators have passed the Caregiver Advise, Record, and Enable Act, which is the CARE Act. And this is a state-level policy that requires hospitals to provide patients the opportunity to identify and record the name of a family caregiver, inform that caregiver when the patient's discharge is going to happen, and then provide that caregiver with any information or education on how to help that patient once they're back home. And a total of 45 states and territories now have CARE Act laws in place, which again is really focused on trying to better support family caregivers when their loved ones go into the hospital and as they transition back home.
And you know, when I went to Washington, D.C. last month for the first ever Caregiver Summit, I had the pleasure of doing my Capitol Hill visits with you. And during those visits, you told the personal story of why the CARE Act is important to you. Would you mind telling me again about your personal story with the caregiving?
Yeah, of course. So a few years ago now, my older brother was diagnosed with congestive heart failure when he was admitted to a rural hospital here in Wisconsin because of leg edema. And the fluid quickly reached his lungs, interfering with his breathing. And my brother was moved to an intensive care unit and remained there for nearly 3 weeks, which is a long time.
Wow.
And just 5 days later, he was discharged home. So this experience was extremely traumatic for my family. Throughout his stay, my family received little information about his prognosis or what was going to happen. And most alarming to me is that my brother did not receive the necessary care services or referrals to really help him establish a healthier lifestyle once he transitioned back home. And my family received no instruction on how to best support him or his condition moving forward. And since then, which is most important that I want to get across, is I firmly believe the CARE Act could potentially help with healthcare costs. My brother's been in and out of the hospital since that first day because of medical complications, which have really driven his healthcare costs up and has impacted not only his own health and quality of life, but my family's as well.
So if the CARE Act was in place, how do you think things would have been different for you personally?
I personally think my family would have learned. So at the time, I wasn't living in Wisconsin. I was in Pennsylvania, so I wasn't there to really advocate for him. So it was my older parents that were there at the bedside with him. And they weren't provided information on what congestive heart failure is. So I think first and foremost, had they been identified when my brother was admitted to the hospital and documented in his chart, more clinicians would have maybe been able to know that they needed to receive more education before he was discharged home.
Wow. I can't believe that this is still going on and happening and that we don't have something in place. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I'm joined here today with Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Beth Fields, to talk about the CARE Act. And I know, Beth, that you talk all day, every day, in a professional setting. So I'm going to have a little fun with this. I decided to call you Badass Beth for the amazing work that you're doing. And since we've been talking about the CARE Act, which requires hospitals, and let me know if I'm wrong on this, repeating what you've said and what I've heard in the past, this requires hospitals to identify the patient's family caregiver, notify them of the hospital discharge or transfer, and make sure they understand and give them hands-on instruction on how to do at-home care once they get back home. Am I summing it up?
Yeah, that was a great summary, Liza. Identification, notification, and education is what the CARE Act is all about.
I love it. And I love rhymes way better than I love all the acronyms. So thank you for that. So Beth, Wisconsin is unfortunately a little late to the party on this issue. We are one of only like 9 states that doesn't have the CARE Act in place. Is that correct?
I believe today, I've been following AARP, I believe we're up to a total of 45 states and territories, 42 states.
Okay. So,
and then surrounding territories. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're bottom of the chart there. what have you been able to learn from the states that have their act together, no pun intended, and have already passed the CARE Act?
Yeah, so before moving to Wisconsin, as I mentioned, I lived in Pennsylvania where the CARE Act went into effect in 2017, and I was part of a large team at the University of Pittsburgh and with their health system, UPMC, that looked at compliance and impact of the law, and we found that the health system organization and really the capability of their electronic health record, where all the information is documented for a patient, was really instrumental in compliance efforts. And we actually published some information on how health systems and what they should be thinking about if they're going to implement the CARE Act. There's also been other evidence, Liza, that's been done outside of my team. So a meta-analysis of 11 randomized controlled trials, and randomized controlled trials are typically what people refer to as the gold standard in research, that found that the integration of family caregivers into the discharge planning process significantly reduced the risk of hospital readmission compared to when caregivers were not included in the care of older adult patients that were discharged home. So that's huge, because readmission rates are what drive healthcare costs up, not only for the patients and their families, but the health systems as a whole. Hospitals don't want to get dinged with readmission rates. And then AARP has also really been the champion for this policy, and they completed a national scan of the CARE Act implementation, and they found that during their site visits that hospital staff consistently reported that family caregivers appeared to be more engaged and confident when taking the patient home because what they thought was the CARE Act.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you know what you're doing, it would obviously help. I can't even imagine. And, you know, I think about someone like myself that gets queasy at the sight of any blood, or I would not be the person for the job. I really wouldn't. And to be given a leaflet or a pamphlet and sent on my merry way, or our merry way, I couldn't imagine that that would end well, to be honest. And I know that there's situations like your brother, where it could have ended better. You know, I know that you've probably heard a lot of stories along the way. Is there anything that or any one particular one that comes to mind that you've heard out in your advocacy or in the work that you do that really also just reiterates the need for this?
Oh, Liza, I mean, being a caregiving researcher, I hear stories all the time that really just demonstrate that our family caregivers need help. They're doing more complex medical and nursing tasks than ever before because advances in healthcare and technology, and are aging longer. So I can't just say one story comes to mind. There's a handful of stories. The numbers are really there, and I want our state legislators to know that this is important.
Well, thank you so much, Beth, for the work that you do and for joining me. I know that you're out of state on vacation with some family time, so thank you. Up next, we are going to be joined with Janet Zander, another awesome advocate, and Civic Media's own Pizza Box Mike.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Joining me next is another badass advocate, Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources, Inc. There may even be an Inc. on that.
There's an Inc.
Someone in the organization said, no, I think we can add a little more to that. Let's just throw on an ink. Okay. So, Janet, thank you so much for joining me tonight. There is an event happening at the Capitol next week that I believe is being put on by AARP and others. And I would love to give the microphone to you so you can tell us what is going on and what we can do to get involved.
Excellent. Glad to help out. So advocacy organizations like AARP like to have what we call Hill Days. These are days where we take folks up to the state capitol and give them an opportunity to share information and requests directly with their state legislators. So AARP Wisconsin is holding their Advocate Summit on Monday, November 13th and Tuesday, November 14th. Like most of these events, the first day will be some training and just getting to know one another and getting to know how to be a good advocate. And then on day two, they'll head to the Capitol and they'll be meeting with legislators, dropping off materials. And we decided to use that event to also piggyback and have a CARE Act press conference on Tuesday morning to help us lift that up utilizing the AARP red shirt volunteers as well.
And the CARE Act, as we mentioned, is something that we're trying to get in place here in Wisconsin that requires hospitals to identify a caregiver and let them know when they're going to be discharged or transferred, and then provide proper education for the caregiver so that they can care for their loved one once they get home. Actually, Janet, there's some positive news on that front, isn't there, about Medicaid and getting some of this help that we need? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, the timing is really good for this press conference. Recently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS as most of us refer to them, finalized a rule that would allow practitioners to bill Medicare for training caregivers. So up until now, it's been one of those things that I think many practitioners recognize is important to do, but there wasn't a way to compensate for the time that they're going to spend doing that. As of January 2024, that rule goes into effect and they will actually have a billing code that will not only enable them to be reimbursed, but encourage them to take that extra step and train caregivers.
That is wonderful. You know, I know that there's some pushback on the CARE Act, believe it or not, but that is a wonderful thing to have in place to say, hey, look, money's not the issue. We've got this code. You can bill for it. So that is great news. And I also wanted to share, because I know that you are on the lookout for some caregivers. Have you lined up personal caregivers, or should we put a shout out right now to see if we can drum up some stories?
We're looking for some actual folks who can come to the Capitol on Tuesday morning and be there by 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's not an easy ask. I've got some of my other caregiver advocate peers actively recruiting. Beth is going to be joining us in the morning as well. So we're still looking for caregivers, you know, whether it's somebody caring for a spouse, a parent, an adult with disabilities, a child with special needs. We welcome them all, and we have yet to confirm those other speakers.
So I will put out the request right now that if you believe the CARE Act should be passed, if you have a personal story about how things could have went better, feel free to email me, liza@civicmedia.us, and I can forward you to Janet to make that connection. I cannot emphasize this enough. I am fairly new into the whole world of advocacies, but your stories matter. Your stories are what makes the difference. So we need those storytellers to come up and tell the legislators why this is important. So Janet, I also had the pleasure of spending time with you in Washington, D.C. at the first annual Caregiver Summit. And our time at Capitol Hill was part of the Act on Raise campaign. I know that we could talk about that for hours, but I have to say, first and foremost, you've been such a lifesaver to me because I am new to a lot of this. Your wisdom has been priceless. So thank you for that. But could you just give a quick recap on the Raise Family Caregiver Act and then why we were there to act on it?
Sure. Raise Family Caregiver Act was passed a couple of years ago. The administration has actively been working on laying out a strategy to better support family caregivers across the nation. They have an advisory council that's putting together plans, and they've developed a federal plan and a state plan and local initiatives that we can do that would better support caregivers. The CARE Act is part of one of those state plan initiatives, and we know that right now there are 15 federal agencies busy implementing 350 different actions at the federal level.
Wow. Sounds like they're just like being like a mom up there, right? Just working on 350 different things at once. That is awesome. And so there was also a few state issues, or there was one state issue that I also wanted you to be able to share with people because I think it was important, and I'm so grateful you educated me on it. And that is the reimbursement for volunteers.
Yeah, this is a really important federal issue and one that's near and dear to my heart. I've been working in the Aging Network for over 35 years and have personal experience. My father-in-law had end-stage renal disease. And so he was one of many folks who needed transportation for dialysis. And what we discovered is as our volunteer drivers are taxed for any reimbursement they receive for the gas and the maintenance of their cars, et cetera, if they receive over 14 cents a mile. That rate was set by Congress in 1997.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if you can ride a bike for 14 cents a mile at this point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, anybody doing business mileage currently is getting 65 and a half cents per mile. The IRS lifts that up annually when they look at what are the inflationary costs, and they make the adjustments. Congress has not looked at that since 1997. And yet volunteer drivers have the same vehicles, the same kind of insurance, and the same wear and tear on their cars and are volunteering their time. And so as we have difficulty recruiting volunteers, because they don't want to have this reimbursement taxed, we want to incentivize those volunteers to come back to us and really continue to offer us that valuable service.
Yeah, getting taxed on volunteering. What a wonderful concept. Come on, folks. We can do better. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver. And after this short break, I will be back with Pizza Box Mike.
Thank you.
Sequesota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The spokesman for the International Federation of Red Cross at Red Crescent told the BBC Gaza hospitals need immediate help.
Something needs to be done in the next hours, not even days. And first and foremost, we need a safe and unhindered access in every part of the Gaza Strip, not only in the south, we need also to have access in the north.
In New York City, Mayor Eric Adams is part of an investigation into campaign fundraising. Former attorney Zachary Carter says his electronic devices were seized.
You're going to find evidence of when calls were made or received and who made or received those calls.
Big game for Michigan today at Penn State, and coach Jim Harbaugh won't be on the sidelines. The Big Ten banned him because of a signal stealing scheme.
Game two or three, not being on the sideline, probably not a big deal. Against Penn State, it could be a big deal because of communication issues.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The last time the Packers won a game in Pittsburgh was over 50 years ago, December 1970. Bart Starr still the quarterback. The Steelers had a rookie quarterback out of LSU who only completed 3 of 20 passes and 4 interceptions. His name? Terry Bradshaw. Today, the Steelers quarterback is from Pitt, Kenny Pickett, who talked about the Packers' defense.
They're really strong up front. They got, it all starts in the trenches. I think they got a great, front four. They do some different things. Their linebackers are really aggressive, run well. Some veteran safeties that make a lot of plays on the ball, and some of their zone coverage have some really good instincts for the ball.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love says he'll have to keep an eye on the Steelers linebacker, T.J. Watt, from Wisconsin.
T.J.'s a great player, plays with, really good effort on every play, and I think their whole defense does a good job of that. So we got to be able to match that.
That's Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some sprinkles or light rain showers. We'll see a high around 42. For tonight, chance of rain, mostly cloudy, lows around 38. Gradually becoming sunny on your Sunday with highs in the mid-50s. For Monday, look for sunshine and a high around 52. That's weather.
Right now, it's 37.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined now by Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mike from Outside the Pizza Box, who does a show every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can listen to it here or stream it anywhere on the Civic Media app. Mike, before we talk caregiving, I'm going to allow you to give a shameless plug. Tell us a little bit more about your show and why the heck it's called Outside the Pizza Box.
Well, it's because I decided early on, I think it was February 15th, that occupying the Capitol to defend democracy and defend those that were less fortunate than me. And Ian's Pizza Boxes came to the Capitol, and I started making signs, and that's how that all came about.
So you were making protest signs with pizza boxes.
Yeah.
And you became known as Pizza Box Mike because you were there every day, a lot?
Yeah, well, I stayed overnight for a couple weeks, whatever it was.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned one of your big causes was the fight for 15, which goes hand in hand. Well, it goes with caregiving, right? I mean, you just told me earlier, a paid direct care worker, the, you know, correct name for it always seems to change, but basically paid caregiver for 30 some years.
Yeah. Started in college. I got tricked. I told you. The guy in my dorm said, hey, you want to make some money? This guy, yeah, it's easy. You know, he's in a wheelchair. You got to help him get dressed and stuff like that. But then he, you know, he goes to class himself and everything. But you got to get up. It's like at 5 a.m. because he has an early class. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, and I was kind of like a lot of other people that were stupid. I drank back then.
And oh, no.
So that first night I was waking up still from the night before. And it was 5 minutes to 5, and it's snowing.
Oh, no.
And I run across the other side of campus, and I get there. And here's this gentleman who is, 6'7" and weighed 260 pounds. And only after I got there did I find out that I had to, my first day included a what's called a BP program, bowel program.
Okay. Good morning.
And I'm like, wow. I'm going to kill that dude. I mean, I can't. There's no way I'm going to leave this guy like this,
okay,
right?
6'7", and I know that you don't have a problem saying this because you're a wrestler, so they always throw, and you're a man, you're not a woman, so we hide all this stuff. But what is your height and weight?
Probably about, I mean, I was 5'5", and maybe 130 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. I was bigger than you. Okay, so 5 a.m, you're taking a bowel movement training, and 30 years later,
yeah,
there you are.
I mean, well, and that's how the fight for 15 came about. One thing about doing that after I left college, and I worked for a number of students there, and then when, like, their workers, I was also a resident assistant.
Sure.
And so when everybody went on vacation and there were people in wheelchairs that were there, I'd work for 2 or 3 or 4 different guys.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, you don't get into it thinking that you're going to be making friends with all these guys.
Right.
And sitting around telling jokes and doing things together. And so it, you know, that's what I mean. It turned into something like, well, yeah, you know, first of all, who enjoys seeing me at 5 a.m, you know? I might want to stick with that, you know, since somebody appreciates that. And then after I left college, you know, I met somebody that, you know, had just suffered an accident and was one of the fastest recoveries to get out of the hospital with the injury he had and needed help. And then it all started. And the thing about this CARE Act is the entire time that I've worked for people, their family members are powerless.
Right.
And so the empowered caregiver, I'm like, wow, this is perfect, you know, how this works out. But yeah, for all those years, they couldn't work and get paid, you know,
right.
And they did a lot of work. So they were there, the volunteer thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't get paid for it. And then it, over the years, it developed that, yeah, you know, part-time they could get paid for doing certain things. But for when they get out of the hospital, when they need IVs or they need something like that, we didn't even do that at the beginning of my career. That was, you know, you had to have nurses come in.
Sure.
But over the years, that changed, and we received training, and then, you know, like the hospital would keep us informed because I worked for organizations. They were nonprofit, but they were ahead of the game as far as a lot of the other options that you would have for home health care,
mm-hmm.
where they're more, well, let's just say, you know, today when I went through the Capitol and saw all these lobbyists.
Right.
Well,
and you know what? I have to say this because you and I can talk about it. The women that I had on earlier can't.
Mm-hmm.
And why we don't have the CARE Act is hospital lobbyists, the hospital association.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying, oh, we do that.
Yeah, well, no, they don't. And I mean, UW nurses don't have a union. Don't get me started.
But right, right.
And that's how I got into the fight for 15. I was, you know, doing one of my preaching in the rotunda about, you know, how would you like one of your loved ones, you know, having someone come into your home and take care of your loved one for $10 an hour? You know, do you feel safe with having a person that?
Yeah. How does that saying go? You excluded, right? You excluded, but you get what you pay for, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bad, but yeah, the fact that the families didn't have any say, you know, in a lot of the things that, you know, that they should be to help a family member. And you talk about the stress and the strain. And
yeah. Well, and, you know, Beth made a great point that her parents didn't even really know or understand what their son had.
Right.
You know, and okay, thank God for Google, but that's not always there. That's not always great information. To be honest, if you're talking about medical stuff, don't Google it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just, the CARE Act. Where was I going with the CARE Act? Other than we need to get it passed. It's going to help save lives. I mean, do you have any personal stories of people that you saw their parents or their loved ones just struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of, you know, parents watching one of their children,
right,
you know, survive a serious spinal cord injury, and then, you know, having to be there their whole life, you know, and being the caregiver.
Yeah.
And most of them, like, you know, I would for my mom, or my mom did for me when I
right.
got sick.
Well, right.
We didn't mind doing that. But if there isn't a support network there,
right.
or for in my experiences, there's not enough people in the labor force because there's not enough pay. I mean,
right.
I had 30-some years experience, and I think my highest pay was $11.60 or something like that. And I was working 60 or 70 hours, but I had to work different programs. Yes. And you always had to have another job because you weren't making enough money.
And
or you had
no,
two or three clients.
No benefits?
No. I mean, well, expensive benefits, you know, to pay for health insurance was really high.
I can imagine. And, you know, let me ask you about this. I read that when it comes to the great exodus of paid caregivers, it's not only the common sense, the crappy pay and hard emotional, physical work conditions. It's also the management and the bureaucracy itself is a large part of why a lot of people leave. And I don't want you to name names of care agencies, but what is your experience with the agency themselves? Did you feel supported, trained, you know, heard?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky, but I spent a number of years in two different well-known nonprofit in Madison, in Dane County. And I never had bad experiences with the people, the organization, any of the management. I did with how powerless we were as workers, as well as family members. I can't give you all the details of what I mean by that.
Sure.
For example, working too many hours, and there's supposed to be laws to protect you from as a worker to not work too many hours straight.
Right.
But when it involves the health care of the person that you're taking care of, I mean, you find a way to work around that. And then you have two different, you have to bill to a different agency so you're not over hours on another, you know, that's only funded for this much. And it's really kind of it's demeaning as hell is what it is.
And I've got to only imagine that there's little support for you as the paid caregiver. I mean, by the agency. Where I'm going with this is caregiver burnout is almost a given for people that stick with this. I can't imagine that they have a support group, a support, you know, resources for you guys for your own well-being.
That is, in fact, what happened to me the last few years of my being in that industry was fewer workers, more clients, bills going up. I mean, you got to keep working. And what I feared happened. I thought, you know, I'm doing this working with people with physical limitations, and eventually I'm going to need help because something's going to happen to me. And lo and behold, it did. I mean, I'd have to say that the heavy stress load I took for the last 4 or 5 years might have contributed to my illnesses.
I would imagine, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about that if we shift gears. You also were the primary caregiver of your mother? Is that what you're talking about? Or own personal? Well, I know you've had your own health challenges.
I shared the house with my mom, and I would have to say that she was more of a caregiver than I was. Going through cancer treatment. And, she took me to the hospital a few times, emergency room. Without that, I probably wouldn't have made it. And, it went both ways. But
right.
When my mom unfortunately collapsed this last year or this year, the first thing I thought was, and I always told my mom, however long you want to stay here, Mom, I will always be here. You know what I mean? And that way I knew she knew if something happened or if she needed me to be there, I was going to be there.
And can I ask, how old was your mom, approximately, if you can't remember, when you had your cancer?
Was like 77 or 78.
So 79,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just...
And she was still my mom and my best friend, and she took care of me. And I was very lucky.
That is wonderful that she was there for you and that you were there for her. And
I shoveled a driveway so she could go to church.
You know what? Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, man, early in the morning, do you really need to go to church, Mom? If she wanted to go, I made sure that I got the driveway done. But for the first couple of years I was there, I was limited physically to what I could do. I couldn't mow the yard.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I couldn't shovel. But now I'm back to He-Man strength again. I'm like, 125 pounds again.
Wonderful. I'm so happy for you, Pizza Box Mike. I'm going to pick up this conversation about Pizza Box Mike's own personal caregiving story once we return.
Thank you.
93.5 The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with Pizza Box Mike, who hosts Outside the Pizza Box every Friday from 7 to 8. Did I get that right?
Yeah, we got the same time slot.
All right. There you go. So
we must be doing really good.
I guess that's where they put the best. That's where they put the best of the best. So I want to make sure, actually you want to make sure, we both want to make sure that we end this on a positive, happy note, because there is no hiding or denying, or it's obvious. Being a paid caregiver is hard work, and you do it because you love the people that you're with and the work that you're doing, and you know that it's meaningful, you know that it's changing lives, and you know that people rely on you. What am I missing?
And you develop relationships and friendships and basically family, and they tell you that, you know, you can't have these kind of relationships. You can't be friends. They're your boss. But there's no way to control that. And again, if somebody's happy to see you as their caretaker and they don't have too many complaints, you know.
Right.
Because there's always going to, you know, I was never perfect. I got better as time went on. And then again, you know, it kind of at the end, but
you got
it's a
better?
Rewarding. It's rewarding. It's fun. Okay.
It is. And I have to say, you got better as time got on. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I started out great. So I wanted to just share this story because I think it falls in line with what we're talking about. And it's hilarious. So yesterday I had total crappy day. Started out the day with having to pay a $500 insurance deductible at 7 a.m. And that was probably the highlight of the day, to be honest. All went downhill from there. But I work at MSCR, and I support people with developmental disabilities, actually whatever disability, in various programs. And so I was grumpy as all could be. I got there. I saw my crew. You know, they're just, we're loving on each other. And half of them went into the gym. We thought we were going to do bowling, but the sound was really cool. And one of the ladies started singing. So I said, let's do karaoke. So I have a blind woman singing and an autistic man just smiling, swaying back and forth swaying back and forth. And then there was another autistic man that was playing the drums on yoga blocks. And this is all to the sound of music, by the way. He's playing the drums to the sound of music. And then there was a woman with Down syndrome who informed me that she was a professional ballet dancer.
Right.
And so it was like the highlight, of this week to speak. You know, you're topping it. I loved our time together, so you're topping it. But there's so many of those great stories, right? There's so many of those moments that just make your day.
I only, and one time through my whole career as a caretaker, worked with children that were developmentally disabled, physically disabled, no speech communication, but communication through laughter and touch. I mean, that was pretty cool. Right. To make someone laugh and to get in trouble from the person that, you know, the adoptive, mother because I was making her son laugh too much while she was trying to talk on the phone. You know, come on. We're having a good time here. But, yeah, so that was a great experience as well. But very, you know, it's very trying because you're you know, first of all, you love the people for what they're doing to make sure that these children have a quality of life. And then, you know, some of them graduate from high school. You know, you see they're still going 15 years later. And then you see the obituary someday and you're like, think of the years that they got because there were caretakers out there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now, if people were paid what the real value of what that is, that would take a lot of stress and strain off everybody, but that's a whole nother day, whole nother story.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. I can't wait to have you back. And I have a lot of other great people that I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to this month. Next week, I'm going to be talking with the Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin president about their ThinkAbility program, which supports hiring people with disabilities. I also hope to speak with the director of the Multi-Award-winning documentary Unseen, How We Are Failing Parent Caregivers and Why It Matters. I can't wait to talk to her about that. And then on November 22nd, I will be speaking with PhD Regina Lark, author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. What to do about it. That's going to change my life. Okay. And then to finish out November, I will be speaking with Kevin Cullen, if I'm saying his last name right, who is the Policy Initiatives Advisor for the State of Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. Why do state employees have such long titles? Sheesh. And he's going to be talking about kind of what we're talking about today, the paid caregiver crisis and what Wisconsin is rolling out to do to address it. So I just also want to mention, if you know an outstanding caregiver that you would like to nominate for National Family Caregiver Month, then slide into my DM or email me at Liza@CivicMedia. I would love to be able to give them a shout out on air and to send them a caregiver gift box. You know, Nate, I'm having a little nerves about just saying slide them into my DM. That's not like a Netflix and chill.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Okay, thank God. Okay, because I didn't want to put that offer out there. So, yes, let's nominate some phenomenal caregivers. I got one standing right next to me. Any final thoughts, Pizza Box Mike? What are three things that you would tell a family caregiver?
I'd say go to the Capitol when they're having legislation.
Amen.
On these issues.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, why does that always happen? I was going to pay a parking ticket. That's why I filled the meter with an hour just in case, you know, I don't want to get another parking ticket while I'm going to pay. Right. And I'm walking through and I'm like, man, look at all the lawyers and lobbyists here. And look, it has to do with healthcare or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, lobbyists that are there for when they talk about, well, I'm a lobbyist for disabilities. And I'm like, yeah, for, you know, profiting off disabilities, and then they walk away. So, you know, and that's how you get involved, man.
You know, get involved.
Being truthful and looking the bad guy in the eye and making him look at the floor and walk away is the best way to get involved.
Well, I love the work that you've done and that I know that you'll continue to do. And thank you so much for spending time with me tonight. Thanks for having me. Yeah, have a great week, everyone. I know that caregiving is hard and difficult, but you got this. Stay tuned to The Empowered Caregiver. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl Ingram.
clearly at this point what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker. That's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within parties as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacy Lynn. For a few hours each day, Israel is allowing civilians to get out of Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Israel has reopened a humanitarian